Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Ending our lesson at verse 20, and God will stamp with His own divine approval this reading from His very own infallible book. Let's stand to our feet for a word of prayer. O God, our Father, as we come to view Thy Word, we pray that Thou wilt open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. O God, may the words that we speak not be in the words of man's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Those who are lost, may the Savior find them. Those that are backslidden, may the Savior restore them. Those that know Thee, may they be drawn closer to Yourself. We pray for our beloved province at this time, that Thou wilt ward off our foes and our enemies, and bring us to a time of victory, revival, and blessing. To this end I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost I take. Thank God You undertake for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. At this time of the year, we take a look back to the dreadful wars of the past century. War is a wicked thing. War is an exceedingly bloody thing when the blood of men and women flow upon the streets of their own countries and on the streets of other countries. The Bible warns us that wars will come, and they will come because of the curse of sin, the curse of depravity that is in every man's heart born into the world. And this Bible of ours issues solemn warnings about various conflicts, various battles, and various wars. But it reveals to us in the mystery of its revelation that God sent His Son to fight the war of all wars, to declare war upon sin, and to declare war upon the fruit of sin. For sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. This week I spent most of the week on important parliamentary duties. And there was one thing that and they declared to the world that during the last century, 3 million men, women, and children died in the wars that ravaged this world of ours. As I thought upon that, and then I thought about where those people are in the great eternity, my heart was broken. My spirit was covered with sackcloth and ashes, the sackcloth and ashes of humility, and also of the terrible eternity that comes because of sin and wickedness in the human heart. We live in a day when men apologize and excuse their sins and seek to cover them. But in the war that Christ declared against sin, there was an exposure of the human heart. It was a facing up to how dark and depraved and devilish and damnable the heart of the sinner is. There is none righteous. The gospel trumpet sounds it forth. No, not one. And from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there are wounds, there are bruises, there are putrefying sores, and they haven't been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. There is a remedy to the sins of men. There's a remedy to the wickedness of men's hearts. There's a remedy and pardon at the cross and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to declare war. In a war, there must be the weapon by which war can be waged. And God takes us to the hillside outside the city wall of Jerusalem, to the place called Calvary. And he shows us there this great truth, that through death he destroyed the power of death. Christ took the very weapons of that war that brought such terrible agony and passion and bitterness, and in many cases a lost eternity to the human soul. They turned the weapons of war upon war itself. And at dark Calvary, Jesus Christ chose death that you might choose life. He chose the giving of his blood that you may be cleansed from your sin. And I would bring you tonight to that cross. It starts with what? The words of pardon. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Not one man at that cross realized what the dimensions of the cross were. Those dimensions are higher than the heavens. They are deeper than the sea. They are longer than the broadest of all horizons. Who can measure that cross? Who can even measure its pangs? For Christ's visage was marred more than any man, and is far more than the sons of men. But it started with a prayer for pardon. Isn't it a great thing to know that Jesus himself is the great prayer for the pardon of sinners? Oh, my friend, learn this truth today, that you're above the ground, you're out of eternity, you're still living because Jesus Christ praying for you. And if he does not pray for us, we be like those that go down to the pit. Go through the whole of Calvary, and every word he spoke gives us a greater vision and a greater depth and a greater height and a greater measure of the cross. What is Christ doing? He is taking the weapons of war. He is turning those weapons on the enemy and upon himself in order to bring man from ruin to redemption, from sin to salvation, from hell to heaven, from darkness to light, and for the power of sin unto God. There's no strength spiritually for any one of us until we come to the cross. And one of the most tremendous statements in the Bible is this. Only the Holy Spirit would have dared to write it. He was crucified through weakness. Did you ever think about that? That the strongest of the strongest died in weakness. It drained the life of the eternal God incarnate in the flesh in order to save man. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. What wickedness was seen at the cross? The cross revealed that man had in their heart what the Puritans described as a kill God attitude. And the Puritans used to say, in the seed of every sin is the desire of sinful man to murder his God. And when Peter preached the great Pentecostal sermon, he charged that they murdered the Prince of Life. No tongue can tell it or describe it or define it or designate it. It's beyond mortals to understand it. But those who have received Christ as their Savior have an experience in their heart that they cannot define or describe, the experience of reception, forgiveness, and pardon and cleansing through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It reaches, it purifies me. At a time of remembrance, we often use the words, they shall not grow old. Everything else is growing old. I have attended over 30 cenotaph gatherings in my day. And I was just looking at those in the procession, and they're all getting old. I was congratulating myself that my hair looked very well, although it was white. And then I said, how many have walked this way are now in eternity. The shout of kings are past. The shout of the lords of the land are past. We must all needs die, and are as water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up. But the crowds that once met at the cenotaph, where are they in eternity? And say, if this was the last remembrance service you were ever to attend, and your place would be strangely missing next year, where would your soul be? Eternity, eternity, where would you be in eternity? I would like to urge upon you the necessity of closing with Christ freely offered to you in the gospel. This is no time for dilly-dallying. This is no time for being like Lot's wife and looking back. This is no time for slacking your energies in the race to flee from sin and flee to Christ. You remember what God said to Lot, flee to the mountain, lest you be conceived. Oh, my dear sinner friend, I would urge you to flee to the wounds of Jesus and hide your soul in his precious blood. I would plead with you to have done with sin and call to Christ for pardon and victory and cleansing. I would appeal to you this night not to leave this house of God until you're dead on certain and absolutely sure that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Thank God, Christ won the war at the cross. He was not the victim, he was the victor. He was not the one who surrendered, he was one to whom the devil and all his works surrendered. And he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is to say the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I close this short gospel address tonight urging you to make sure that you have a refuge that keeps the soul. Make sure you're not depending on religion. You're not depending on a dead Protestantism. You're not depending on anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not Jesus Christ plus the church, plus baptism, plus church membership, plus good works, plus Bible reading. It is Christ alone, alone, alone that saves the soul. Meet the Savior tonight. He's only a prayer away. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I trust this night that all of us will have the blood mark in our hearts and the Spirit of God answering to our spirit that we are the children of God. May God do that in your heart if it hasn't been done before on this Remembrance Day service. Let us bow our heads. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy precious word. And we pray now that every one of us will know the life that's hid with Christ in God, eternal in the heavens. Hear this our prayer for Jesus' sake.